Okay, we begin here with the two dots on the top of Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Chamim Amim, Maga Trefar Shchuta. Chamim disagree with Rabbi Meir as to what the status of the fetus is that's attached to this aver that went outside of the mother. According to Rabbi Meir, it's Maga Nevela. The limb that went out is Negdar Nevela. Whether that's real Nevela or aver Minachai that has the din like a Nevela. And because the ubar itself was in contact with the arm, then the ubar becomes maga nevela. And that was what we discussed in yesterday's daf, how exactly this maga works, whether it's maga beit hasterim, or are there other options for that. The chamim disagree and say that the shechita of the mother is successful at removing the shem nevela from the eiver, and therefore the ubar is not maga nevela, because the eiver that left is not a nevela. Rather, it is a trefa shchuta. Problem with that is, trefa shchuta mi mitamyo. Isn't that the whole point of shchita v'trefa? Shchita v'trefa removes the tuma from it. That's what a trefa means. It's not an nevela, it's a trefa, and therefore it has no tuma. So when you say that it is a trefa, you're basically saying there is no tuma. So why just not say that it is tahor? In kedavu adishmol, damar avu adishmol, trefa sheshachta mitama v'muktashim. The way that Rashi describes it over here is, Mitama b'muktashim midrabanan. Because there is this gzera midrabanan, that there is tuma midrabanan with regards to muktashim when it comes to a treifa. So Rashi is explaining that it has the capacity to be mitameh, something that is in the world of Kodesh. So if you have a korban that has something wrong with it, and you shechted it, so even though it won't be an nevela, it'll be a treifa, that trefa has a din of tuma. So that's the way Rashi reads it. On the other hand, the Rambam reads it as being that this only has relevance in the world of muktashim, which is that a trefa has tuma, any trefa has tuma, but it only impacts on something that is kodesh, not on something that's truma, not on something that is chulin. So just a machloket as to what the impact of this tuma is. Is it only applicable to animals that are kodesh? And therefore, if you shecht an animal that's kodesh and is found to be a trefa, then this tuma exists? Or is it just that the impact of this tuma is only felt by kodesh, not by truma, not by chulin? That's a machloket Rashi in the Rambam as to the meaning of muktashim over here. Me matzinu b'trefa sheshchitata mitarata af shchitat beima titaher et ha'ever. So here we have the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir, says to the Chachamim, why is it that this should work? And the Chachamim respond, because just like by a treifa, the shechita is successful at removing the tumat nevela, so too the shechita of behema should remove the din nevela from the eiver. So now the Gemara brings a braita, which is somewhat cryptic, and then explains the braita. Tanya, Amalein Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir responds to them, v'chi mitaharu le'eiver zeh midei nevela, shechitat imo. Well, you're claiming now that the shechita of the mother is successful at removing the tuma from the eiver. Im kein titirenu b'achila. If that's the case, it should be successful at making a kosher le'achila. The shechita that you do is able to remove the tuma means that the shechita has impact on this item. If it has impact on this item, it shouldn't just impact it for the fact that it removes the tuma, it should impact it for the fact that it makes it mutar b'achila. So amrlo, Harbe matzelet al she'enu gufa yoter mimi gufa. There are many times that it is successful at protecting, quote unquote, but really it means being matzir things that are not a part of its body more than its body itself. Sharei she'eninu, because we had the Mishnah earlier on. Chotech mina ubar shebimeha. If you chop up the ubar inside of the mother, then you shech the mother mutar ba'achila. The shechita of the mother covers whatever's inside of her, including this ubar that is in pieces. Minat chol, minat klayot. If you cut off the spleen or the kidneys of the mother and leave them internal to the mother, asur ba'achila. They're still asur ba'achila. So you see that she is able to give more protection or even be matir, more items that are not a part of her body than those that are a part of her body. What that has to do with the first statement of the Braita is very unclear. And that's what the Gemara says, Maika Amar. What is the Braita saying? It's as if it went through a non sequitur in the conversation. The conversation is Rabbi Meir says, how did you get it to be kasher because you think the shechitah mother helps. And he says, well, if that's the case, it should be mutar b'achila. The Chachamim responding about something about gufa and she'ena gufa. So Rava v'amri lo kadi. So they quote in the name of Rava, and some quote it. And Mesorah Shas brings this, but Rashi in different places in Shas translates kadi either to mean without attribution, or sometimes he says kadi was the name of a Chacham. Whether it means it's rather than Rava, it's kadi, or rather than it's Rava, we'd say without attribution. Kasure Metzera. The bright is clearly missing a transitional phase to understand what it's saying. V'hachik tani. This is the understanding of the Braita. Amarlein Rabbi Meir, v'chi mi teharo le'ever zeh mi de nevela. How did you get it to be, according to you, the Chachamim, that this Aver that was left the mother before the Shechita, and now you're telling me it doesn't have tumat nevela? Shechita timo was the thing that did it. Im kein tatirenu ba'achila. If that's the case, then why is it only successful at removing the tumah? It should be successful at making it mutar to eat. Amrulo treifa tochiach. We have an example of that in the world of treifa. Shechitata mitaharata midei nevela v'inu matirata ba'achila. Shechita is successful by a treifa of removing the nevela from it. It still remains a treifa, it still remains asura ba'achila, but nevertheless, it does remove the tumah. So the same thing over here. The shechita will be successful at removing the tumah. It will not be successful being matirid ba'achila. Amar lahen, so he says back to them, this is similar to what we have in our Mishnah, lo, im tiara shechitat treifa uta, when it comes to the treifa, where the shechita is able to be matair it, davar shehi gufa, because it is the animal itself that you're trying to be matir, meaning that you're shechting this animal, and therefore the shechita is successful at removing the tumah from this animal. Should it be also that when you shech the mother, it successfully helps this aver, davar she'eino gufa, that's not in part or parcel of the mother. So there is a difference over here. By treifa, the animal you are shechting is the animal that gets the tahara. Over here, the animal you're shechting is the mother, the tahara is coming to the aver that belongs to the ubar, davar she'eino gufa. So amru lo, there's the remainder of the bright that we brought before. The response of the chachamim is harbin. Marcelet of she'enu gufa, yoter mi gufa. It's not necessarily a truism what you're saying. That just because it's part of the body, it's more likely to be tahor from the shechita. Even if it's not part of the body, it's a possibility that that has more likelihood of being protected by the shechita. Because, harayit shaninu, that's the mission that we had before. Choteich v'ne ubar shubmea mutar ba'achila. If the fetus is cut up inside of the mother, you shech the mother, it is successful and making the fetus into something that's mutar ba'achila. You chop off a piece of the animal itself and leave it internal to the animal. And shech the animal, asur ba'achila. It's not successful being matir ba'achila. So here you see the shechita of the mother is more successful at taking care of the ubar than it is at taking care of itself. So just because it's gufa is an evidence of the fact that the shechita should be more efficacious. It could be just as valid, the shechita, or even more valid for the ubar than it is for the mother itself. The Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a braita that supports Rava's understanding of the braita before, putting in that transitional stage in the braita. Now we have an explicit braita that actually does that and has the whole language here. Amalan Rabbi Meir, v'chi mitearo le'ever zeh mide nevela. How is it that this aver that left the mother before the shechita now is not a nevela? Amrlo shechita timo. Chamim say back to it, the shechita of the mother is mitaeret. He says, imkein tetirenu ba'achila. If that's the case, it should be successful at making it not only tahor, but also mutar ba'achila. Amrlo treifa tochiyah. We have precedents for that, where it only takes away the tumah, not the make it, and does not make it mutar ba'achila. That's a treifa. Sheshchitata mitarata midei nevela. Shechita is successful at removing the tumat nevela. Ve'ena matarita ba'achila. But it is not successful at making it mutar ba'achila. Amrlahen. So Rabbi Meir says to him, im tihara shechitat treifa uta, the shechita of the treifa is successful at being mitair it. Ve'eta iver hamidud alba, and anything that is hanging from it, this is going to become important in the next section of the Gemara, we're going to discuss with the rest of today, which is when you have an aver hanging off of an animal. It's something that is attached, but barely attached. So it's hanging on by a thread, it's hanging on by a piece of skin, so it's still quasi-attached, but not fully attached. So if you do shechita on such an animal, it is successful at removing the shame, nevela, from this animal, as well as when you have an animal that has an aver hanging off of it, it will be successful at removing the shame, nevela. That's because davar shegufa. Those are both a part and parcel of the animal itself. titaheret ubar she'eino gufa. Why should you then say that it's successful at taking the tumah away from the ubar? It's one thing to say it's successful at removing tumah from the animal itself, or even an aver that's hanging off of it, but to say another entity is covered by the shechita of the mother to protect it from tumah, who says that that's true? Amalo harbe matzelat alsheinu gufa yoter migufa. We have again a precedent in the Mishnah by which we have such a case. Sharei shaninu chotech min ubar shebeah mutar ba'achila. Those pieces of the fetus that are found inside the mother, the shechita of the mother is successful at making them mutar ba'achila, even though that's not gufa. Minatzchol min akvayot, from the spleen and the kidneys, even though those are gufa, asur ba'achila, it is unsuccessful at removing it. So your supposition that gufa should be much more kal than the ubar is not necessarily true. We have evidence to the contrary, where the ubar is the kula and the mother is the chumra. So therefore, that's not a disproof of what we're saying over here. So now we get into a machloket about these positions of Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Am Rabbi Shimon Lachish, machloket beubarim, kach machloket beevarim. Just like they have a machloket by the ubar over here, the question as to whether Shechita is successful at removing the tumah from the ubar, where Rabbi Meir says it is not, and that's why you have magan veila, whereas the Chachamim say it is successful, meaning a limb that exited the mother prior to the shechita of the mother, clearly asur b'achila. Question is the shechita of the mother successful at removing the tumah from that eifer? According to Rabbi Meir, it is not. According to the Chachamim, it is. So what Rabbi Shimon Lakish says is, that machloka that we say by the ubar is also true by an eifer hamiduldal. If an eifer hanging off the animal, that same question would arise here, which is that you shech the animal when it has an eifer that's hanging off of it. Does the shechita then remove the nevela from that eiver that's hanging on by a thread? Is it covered by the shechita of the mother or the animal, or is it not covered? So Rav Shlakish says the machloket that they have by ubar is the same machloket they're going to have here by the eiver. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan Amar machloket the eiver the ubar. That's only true by the ubar that they have a machloket, like our Mishnah, aval be'eiver de behema. When it's talking about an eiver of a regular behema that's hanging off by a thread, divrei hakol shechita osen nipul. Everybody agrees that the shechita makes it as if it detaches. So this term we're going to use for the remainder of today's daf, which is nipul. Nipul means that the act that you're doing now terminates the relationship between whatever it is we're speaking about and the animal itself. So, in the case of an ubar, let's say for instance, so shechita osen nipul for Rabbi Meir is the fact that when you shech the mother, the eiver of that ubar is considered to be a separate entity, and therefore the shechita doesn't help to be mitaret. So in essence, when you shech the mother, it's as if that eiver falls away from the animal, the ubar. When that eiver falls away from the ubar, it has implications, la'alocha, which is number one, it's a sur b'achila. That was true before because it was already basar b'sadeh, shreifa lo tochelu. But it also means that it will be in the vela because of the fact that the shechita has no impact on it because we see it as being detached before the moment of shechita. Similarly, by the case of a behema that has a limb that is hanging on by a thread, how attached or detached do we see that limb? If that limb is viewed as being attached, then number one, the shechita will make it mutar b'achila. And number two is it'll clear up any tumat nevela that is associated with it. Over here, it's not going to literally be tumat nevela because it's not the animal dying, you're doing shechita. So it actually would be tumat eiver min achai. You see the limb as being detached before the shechita, then it's eiver min achai. And eiver min achai is the din of nevela. On the other hand, if you see shechita osen nipul, that shechita is successful at causing a detachment of the limb, then the limb being detached will not get the coverage of the shechita of the behema, means it won't be kosher b'achila. And number two is, it would be then eiver min achai and tamei tumat nevela. So what Rabbi Yochanan suggests is that the machloket of Chachamim and Rabbi Meir is only about an ubar, that it extended its limb out before the mother was shechted and pulled it back in, and then you shech the mother, whether it has impact on that aver or not on that aver. But everybody agrees that if you're speaking about a regular animal that has a limb that's hanging on by a thread, that the shechita makes it as if the item detaches before the shechita, and everybody agrees it's tamei tumat nevela because it's aver min achai. And obviously it's not kosher ba'achila. Am Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina, my time at the Rabbi Yochanan, alibi de Rabbonon. What is the reasoning behind Rabbi Yochanan's position according to the Rabbanan? Meaning that everybody else keeps their position consistent. According to Reish Lakish, the machloket that's by Ubar exists by Aver as well. So there's no change in their position, so it's understandable. Rabbi Yochanan, who says that by an Ubar there's a machloket, by Aver there is no machloket, the ones that change their mind are the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say by the Ubar, the Shkita of the mother helps. By the Aver, the Shkita does not help. So why is it that there's a difference? Mar says, Haitle takanto bechazara. Haitle takanto bechazara. This goes back to the machloket Rab and Rabbi Yochanan that we saw before with regards to an animal that extends its limb outside the mother. And over there we said, if it pulled the limb back in, it's mutar ba'achila. Rav said mutar ba'achila was the ubar is mutar ba'achila. The limb is never mutar ba'achila. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, believed that when you pulled the limb back in and you shechted the mother, not only is the ubar mutar ba'achila, so is that limb mutar ba'achila. So this is Rabbi Yochanan the shitato. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying over here that the difference between the aver and the ubar is exactly that. By the ubar, if it pulls its arm back in, the shechita of the mother will cover it, not only for tumah, but even for achila. That's the view of Rashi. And Rashi's shita makes the most sense now, based on what the Gemara is saying over here, that it means that it's literally mutar ba'achila. So there you see that the ubar's limb is considered to be a part of the mother. If it pulls it back in, it's even mutar ba'achila. So if it stays out, then at least it should be mitaher midei nivela. On the other hand, by the Avraham, the duldal of the animal, there's no way to bring it back. This limb will never successfully be reattached to the animal. It will never successfully be a part of the animal. It will eventually detach just because it's hanging on by a thread, and it will not grow or regenerate along with the animal. So for that reason, shechitah se nipul, and that's why the Chachamim have a different position with regards to Aver than they do with regards to an ubar. So meitevei, what about the Braita? Amar lan Rabbi Meir, lo, imti ara shechita treifa ota, veta eiver medul dalba, this is the Braita that we just quoted. Rabbi Meir says that shechita is successful at removing the shame nevela from a treifa, as well as removing the shame tuma from an eiver hamedul dalba, an eiver that's hanging off from it. Tavar shebegufa, because it's a part and parcel of the animal. Then you're going to try to extrapolate that to the ubar, which is not a part and parcel of the mother itself. Now again, the Gemara says, Bishlam other Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. So according to Reish Lakish, it makes sense, because you can say, L'divrehem ka'amarluhu. He's saying this, in your sheet of the Rabbonon, I can explain this. L'didi, loshna eiver du ubar, loshna eiver de behema, ke'adode ninhu. Rabbi Meir says, I am consistent in my position, and just like I look at a limb of an ubar as being a distinct entity, so too do I look at an aver hamidul dal as being a distinct entity. And therefore the shechita of the mother is unsuccessful at helping the aver, and so too the shechita of the animal is unsuccessful at helping this aver over here. That's my shechita. But according to you, who says that the aver hamidul dal is considered to be nitehar, the shechita of the animal itself, so that's fine. But why should you then be able to extrapolate that to ubar? Because ubar is not a part of the body of the animal that you are shechting. It may be that aver, you're successful at doing that because aver is part and parcel of the goof of the animal that you're shechting. But maybe ubar would not be successful because it's a separate entity, especially its limb that left before, which is not going to be nitehar, the shechita of the mother. Ela Rabbi Yochanan kasha. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, how could Rabbi Meir say to them, Eiver HaMedul Dalba? According to the way Rabbi Yochanan learns, Eiver HaMedul Dalba, nobody thinks is okay. Not Rabbi Meir, and not the Chachamim. So Rabbi Meir can't be speaking his own Shita, and he can't be speaking the Shita of the Chachamim, because you just told me, Dibri HaKol Shechita Otzei Nipol, everybody thinks Shechita by an animal makes it as if the Eiver detached before the point of the Shechita. That means nobody thinks that it's Tahor, Midei Nevela. So then, who's he speaking to, or what is he saying in the Braita? Ela itmar hachi itmar. You have to amend that Mesorah that we have from Rabbi Yochanan, which is Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish, k'machloket b'ubarim, kach machloket b'ubarim. Rabbi Shimon Lakish's position is the same. Same machloket you have by the ubar between the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir reflects itself also in a machloket with regards to the aver hamedul dalba, an aver hanging off of the animal. Also the same machloket as to whether the shechita is successful at removing the tumah or not. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Machloket be'Eiver de'Ubar. It's true, like we have in our Mishnah, that they argue about an Eiver that left the mother before Shechita, which is now under the rubric of Basar B'Sadeh, Trefa Lo Tuchelu, cannot be eaten. There they have a Machloket about whether the Shechita of the mother is successful in removing Tuma, which is the view of the Chachamim, or is unsuccessful, which is the view of Rabbi Meir, Aval be'Eiver de'Be'ema. When it comes to an animal that has an Eiver hanging off of it, when you do Shechita on that animal, Divrei Hakol, Ein Shechita Utzei Nipul. Everybody agrees that the Eiver remains attached to the animal, that the Eiver is a part and parcel of the animal, and the Shechita is successful, not only at removing the Tuma, but even making it Mutar Ba'achila, because it's part and parcel of the animal. Now what I'm saying here, Mutar Ba'achila, that means Midoraita, that's Mutar Ba'achila. We're going to see later on in the Gemara that it is Asur Midorabanan. And that's what Rashi says over here. It's tahor miletamei afo pisha surah b'achila. That a surah b'achila is only a din d'rabbanan, not a din d'oraita. Amar Rabbi Yossi v'chachem Rabbi Chanina. Now the question's reversed. My time at the Rabbi Yochanan, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. What's Rabbi Yochanan's reasoning in Rabbi Meir? Because now the chachamim are consistent in their position. They think it's tahor by the case of the Eivera Ubar, and they think it's tahor by the Eivera Meduldal. Rabbi Meir is the one who changes his mind now. By the case of the Ubar, he says that it is Tumei Tumat Tevela, but by the Eiver Medudal, he says it's Tahor. So now, why does Rabbi Yochanan think Rabbi Meir changes his mind over here between the case of the Ubar and the case of the Eiver Medudal? Rabbi Yossi Bechanin explains, Hai Gufa, V'hai Lav Gufa. That's exactly Rabbi Meir's position and what he suggests to the Chachamim, the next line in the Braita, which is that something that is a part and parcel of the animal, it's more likely the Shechita will be effective in taking care of it. That's Eiver Medul Dalba. Whereas the Ubar, which is a separate entity, the Shechita of the mother is not going to be successful at taking care of it. And that's what he continues to say to the Chachamim, that by Gufa, I understand why it works. Sheinu Gufa, who says it should work? And that's exactly his position. Now, the problem with that, which is noted by many of the Rishonim, and you can see the Baya Tosafot already asking it, it says, Ktzat Kasho. I'm not exactly sure why there's a question about Rabbi Yochanan's position. The shiny Eiver Beima, Dimidoraita Shari Af Bachila. That's what I've been explaining to you, that if it's considered to be attached, it's attached to the point where when you do Shechita, it's successful in removing the Tumah, but it also should make it Mutar Bachila, should be Kosher Bachila. It's only, as we're going to say at the end of today's daf, that it's Midorabanan. We tell you don't eat it. But Midoraita, you're allowed to eat it. So if that's the case by the Eiver Midudal, then what's the question here as to what the difference is? The difference is that by the Ubar, when you do the Shechita of the mother, the Eiver remains Asur Ba'achila. And if the Eiver is Asur Ba'achila, then it makes sense that it retains Tuma. Whereas by the case of Eiver Medudal, if it becomes Mudar Ba'achila, then it makes sense that there would be no Tuma. And that would be the explanation of Rabbi Meir's position. Midoraita, the Eiver of the Ubar is Asur Ba'achila. The Eiver of Medudal is Mudar Ba'achila. In the same way, the din is by Achila, the din by Tuma. So why are you even questioning why Rabbi Meir has a different position by each of these, or what the reasoning is behind Rabbi Yochanan? So Tosfot answers, V'yish lamar, demikol makom bayit dekamo shegazru alav chachamim isur achila, tuma nami hayala l'gzor. The question of the Gemara is, if, as we're going to see later on, this Eiver Medul Dalba has an isur derabanan to eat it, but once you create an isur derabanan to eat it, maybe there should also be an isur derabanan of Tuma, that there should also be Tumat Nevela associated. Once you're saying to us already, you can't eat it, then keep it consistent. When you can't eat it, it should have Tumah. Just like by the Eiver of the Ubar, that you have the Ubar's Eiver is a Surba Achila, and therefore you're telling me it's also Tamei Tumat Nevela, so too by the Eiver of Medul Dal. If you're going to tell me it's a Surba Achila, even though it's Mita Rabbanan, you should make it consistent that it's also Tamei Tumat Nevela, like the Eiver of the Ubar. The answer of the Gemara is that Rabbi Yochanan says it's a difference between Gufa and Eiver Gufa. People are not going to confuse the Eiver of an Ubar with the Eiver Hamidul Dalba. The Eiver of the Budalba is Gufa of the Behemah. Eiver of the Ubar is not Gufa. So the din will be different by the Ubar than it will be by the Eiver. And it's okay to have that inconsistency in the din d'rabbanan. So that's the way the Balei Tosafot answer. Although that question in the Balei Tosafot only really arises if you believe that when the Gemara in the conclusion in the end says it's Asur, it means only it means Asur Midrabanan. Then it's obvious what the difference is. On the other hand, if you hold like the Rambam, as we're going to see later, that it's Asur Midoraita, then the question of the Gemara is very relevant. They're both Asur Midoraita. What's the difference between them? Why is one of them Tamei Tumat Nefela, and one of them is not Tamei Tumat Nefela, and that's what is being addressed here in the Gemara. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Now again, we have a Mesora in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Before the Gemara brought the Machlok between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, and we have two versions of what Rabbi Yochanan said. In the first version, Rabbi Yochanan said, Divrei HaKol, that Shechita Oseh Nipul. And in the second version, we had Divrei HaKol, Ein Shechita Oseh Nipul. So in the first version, it's the Rabbonon, who have a different position with regards to Abraham and Dudaba. In the second version, it's Rabbi Meir, who has a different position by Abraham and Dudaba. Now we have a Mesorah from Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan, HaKol Modim. Everybody agrees, Shemita Oseh Nipul, Ve'ein Shechita Oseh Nipul. So first of all, this is consistent with the second version of Rabbi Yochanan, which is that Ein Shechita Oseh Nipul. Everybody agrees that when you do Shechita, that does not automatically cause whatever is hanging on to detach. So that has implications both by the Ubar as well as by the Efer. We don't just assume because you shefted it that it falls away or it becomes detached. On the other hand, by Mita, by the death of an animal, the death of an animal does cause a detachment from the animal. Now, the truth is the death of the animal shouldn't matter because when the animal dies, it's tamei tumat nevela. And whether the limb is attached or detached, it's also going to be tamei tumat nevela. That's because if it's attached, then it's the same as the animal, and it's a nevela. If we classify it as being detached, it's an eiver min achai. Eiver min achai has the same din of tumat nevela. So why should it matter that mita oseh nipul? The outcome is the same, which is it's tamei tumat nevela. So Rashi over here brings two nafkaminot to whether it matters whether you have eiver min achai or tumat nevela. One of which is that an eiver is only mitamei tumat nevela when it is an eiver. That it has to be a limb that would successfully be a part of an animal. That we're going to see later on in the Masechta. In order to be eiver min achai, it has to be an eiver shalem with basar, gidim, atzamot. It has to have the full trappings of a limb. If it's missing any part of the limb, then it's not an eiver min achai, like the word suggests. It's got to be an eiver. It's got to be a limb. So that's number one. The tumah is only applicable when it is an eiver min achai. By regular nevela, even a kazayit basar is metamei tumat nevela. You don't need a whole eiver. Even a simple kazayit basar is metamei tumat nevela. That's one nafkamina. The other nafkamina is the basar that is poresh mimenu, which is that if basar pulls away from a nevela, it's still a nevela. I mean, that's what we just said. Kazayit basar is nevela. By an eiver min achai, the basar that's poresh from an eiver min achai is tahor. There's no tumah associated with it. So any basar that separates away is not problematic. That's the nafkamina about mita oseh nipul. Shechita oseh nipul, we've already discussed here, that is nafkaminot on two fronts. One is taking away the tumat nevela, and number two is whether it's mutar ba'achila. At least at a doraita level, it's mutar ba'achila. B'maya skinan. What exactly is the scenario here? Ilema be'ever du ubar. If you think this statement about Rabbi Yochanan is speaking about the eiver of an ubar, like our Mishnah, that miflag plige, how can you say divrei akol? That's exactly the machlok between the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir. So you can't claim that divrei akol, that mita oseh nipul and shechita oseh nipul, because that's exactly the machloket. By the ubar, the Chachamim believe ein shechita oseh nipul, and that's why the shechita of the mother is successful at removing the tumat nevela from it. And Rabbi Meir believes that shechita oseh nipul. And if it's oseh nipul, then the eiver is not covered by the shechita of the mother. Ella be'ever de be'ema. It means eiver dudal by be'ema. Mita tanina, shechita tanina. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan happens to be right. That divrei akol, that the shechita is not oseh nipul, and the mita is oseh nipul, but both of those are explicit Tanaic works. We have a Tanaic work that teaches us both of those dinim. Mita tanina, the fact that mita is oseh nipul is explicit. Braita, meta habe'ema. A basar tzarich heksher. If the animal dies, the basar requires heksher the kabel tumah. Va'ever mitamei mishum ever minachai. And the ever is tamei because of ever minachai. Veinu mitamei mishum ever minaveila. So the ever that's there is mitamei mishum ever minachai and doesn't have a din of ever minaveila. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So here you have Rabbi Meir's position. Rabbi Meir is the one who says by the Mishnah, by the ever of an ubar, that the shechita makes it into a nipul, And over here, you're seeing that by the mita of the behema, the animal dies. First of all, habasar tzarich hechsher. If you have basar that detached from the animal, was hanging onto the animal before it dies, then the mita makes it as if that basar separated away from the animal. If it separates away from the animal, it does not have tumat nevela. It also doesn't have tumat aver minachai, because this is not an aver, it's just basar. And basar minachai is tahor. So now, it's not edible by a Jew, because it's not a kosher shchita. There was no shchita, the animal died. But a goy could eat such flesh. Therefore, it has a din of ochlin. So now, in order for ochel to be mekabel tumah, it needs a hekshir, the kabel tumah. And that's exactly what Rabbi Meir says over here. The fact that it needs hekshir, the kabel tumah, shows you that it's not tameh tumat nevela, but rather, it's considered to be nipul, something detached from the animal before the death of the animal, and it requires hekshir, the kabel tumah. There's evidence of the fact that this mita osin nipul by basar chai. And the aver, the limb that was detached beforehand and hanging on by a thread and then it dies, we consider that to detached away because it's mitameh mishum aver min achai. It's classified as an aver that detached when it was alive rather than an aver min anevela with the nafkaminot that we just spoke about before. So you see, Rabbi Meir believes mita otze nipul. That's number one. Number two is shchita namitanina. The fact that shchita ain't otze nipul, according to everyone, that is because nishkata beima hukshuru bedameha. When you shech the animal becomes able to accept tuma because of the dam. Because of the dam shchita, divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the view of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo hukshuru. Rabbi Shimon says, it's not hukshar yedei the shchita. Rabbi Shimon is not arguing on the point of Rabbi Meir as to whether shchita osen nipul or ain't shchita osen nipul. He's arguing about the effectiveness of the dam shchita and whether that is the thing that's makshir. And you might remember from the Mishnah back on the Aftlam and Gimel with Aleph, Rabbi Shimon over there says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, ukshuru b'shchita, that you don't need dam shchita in order to be makshir the behema. The shchita in of itself is a makshir for the animal. And that will be a part and parcel of this machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, but it's not relevant to our machloket over here. The Gemara is going to later on discuss what exactly is this machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, but as far as we are concerned, that has no impact on what we're trying to discuss over here, which is whether shchita osen nipul or ain't shchita osen nipul. And as Rashi points out over here, even though the Braita's attribution is to Rabbi Meir, there's no dissenting opinion. Because even Rabbi Shimon argues about a different issue. It's not arguing about the fundamental issue of shkita osen nipul or not. So he agrees, and since we find no dissenting opinion, that means everybody agrees that shkita osen nipul. And over here we're speaking about a regular behema. We have an aver that is hanging off of it. And it's saying over here that it's hukshuru bidameha. That the damim are the thing that mer makshirit the kabel tuma. Now that in and of itself is no proof that the shkita osen nipul. So the fact that the dam is successful at creating the hekshir, the kabel tumah, in of itself is not a reason to believe that ain shchita osen nipul. Because whether the aver, the basar, is considered attached or detached, the dam will be successful at creating the hekshir, the kabel tumah. As Tosafot says over here, even if you consider it to be detached, nevertheless, the behemah is considered to be a yad, an extension of the aver. Therefore, the hekshir through the yad will affect the aver itself. So that in of itself is not a proof that Rabbi Meir believes ain shchita osen nipul. What is the proof is the fact that you need hekshir of the kabel tumah. The items that are detaching require hekshir of the kabel tumah, which means that the shchita was successful at removing the tumat nevela from these items. Whether it was aver min achai or whether it was a nevela, the fact that you need to have a hekshir of the kabel tumah means that you classified as tumat ochlim, and not some other form of tumah. That's the evidence, the fact that ain't shchita osen nipul. Because if shchita was osen nipul, then the aver that detached would become an aver min achai. Aver min achai has tumat nevela. You don't need hekshir the kabel tumah. It has inherent tumah. The fact that there's no inherent tumah over here shows you that the shchita was successful at removing the shame nevela from it. It means that it's not classified as aver min achai. It's considered to be an aver of the animal, and now you need hekshir for it. And that's the proof from this that Rabbi Meir clearly holds that ain shchita osen nipul. And since in both of these instances we don't find anybody arguing on Rabbi Meir, we're going to assume it's a divrei hakol, the position in both of these cases, both mita osen nipul and ain shchita osen nipul. And that's despite the fact that Rabbi Meir by Ubar thinks that the Aver detaches and Shkita Osin Nipul, the Shkita of the mother, is Osin Nipul for the Aver of the fetus. Nevertheless, over here he's saying by an Aver Amiduldal that that's not the case. So then what's Rabbi Yochanan adding for us? That Sower that was brought Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, they're both explicit Tanaic works. What is he adding for us? The Gemara answers, Imihahi, had you just had that Breita, Havamina, I would have thought, my Hukshiru, a basar. That hukshiru means that the basar is mukshar, the kabel tuma. Now the basar being mukshar, the kabel tuma, is not a big deal because even if shkita usenipol, that would be the case. That's the difference between an aver minachai and basar minachai. Aver minachai is matamei tumat nevela. So then if you need hekshir, the kabel tuma, that means that it's not aver minachai and it's actually been nitar yedei shkita of the mother. But what you could have argued is that what Rabbi Meir is speaking about is the basar achai. You had basar on this animal that detached, or was hanging on by a thread. You shech the animal, and actually it makes it that the basar detaches. So now that it's detached, it's still not kabel tuma, because basar min achai doesn't have a din of tuma. And that's why you need the hekshir of the kabel tuma. Mar says, you can't say that. It says, v'hal hukshiru, Dani. Hukshiru is in the plural. You can't be speaking about one item. You can't just be speaking of basar achai. It must be speaking about basar achai and aver min achai. And if aver min achai requires hekshir, that means that it didn't detach beforehand. It's not classified as aver min achai. So ma'od d'teiman, the Gemara says, you can have the plurality be effective over here and still not come to that conclusion. Because chad basar poresh min abeima, chad basar poresh min aver. One of them is going to teach you that the basar that separates away from the animal requires hekshir, the kabel tuma. And the other one's telling you that the basar that separates away from the aver min achai also requires hekshir kabel tuma. So now what we're saying is, shkita osen nipul, according to that braita of Rabbi Meir. Then, why do you need to have hekshir kabel tuma? Well, one thing that separated away was basar. Basar that separates away, that's basar min achai, requires hekshir kabel tuma, because it doesn't have inherent tuma. Aver min achai, so that's the other item. You're right, the aver min achai is tamei tumat nevela. But basar that separates away from the aver min achai is no different than basar achai that separates away from the animal itself. And both of those require hekshir, the kabel tuma. That's what it means, hukshiru. Both of them get hekshir through the shchita of the animal. Mar says, umay umay dahai mehai. Why would you think otherwise? Why would you think that the basar that detaches directly from the animal is classified as basar min achai and therefore requires hekshir, the kabel tuma? And then by an aver min achai, the basar that detaches from it, why would you think that it doesn't require hekshir? It doesn't have a din of aver anymore, and therefore it doesn't have inherent tuma, so of course it should require hekshir the kamel tuma. So salka dat chamina, you would have thought, ho mitamei tuma chamura agav aviv, emalolod vay hekshir. I would have thought, and this is what Rashi suggests over here, we have a principle that only things that don't have inherent tuma require hekshir the kamel tuma. What about an item that in itself, it doesn't have inherent tuma, but in the future it will have the capacity or ability to create tuma chamura or inherent tuma? For instance, nevelat of tahor. The nevela of a kosher bird, if you touch it, not tamei. You carry it, you're not tamei. You eat it, you become tamei tumat nevela. That's called mitamei bebeit ablia by nevelat of tahor. Gemara says, because in the end, sofo la so tuma chamura, therefore, it doesn't need hekshir. And it can be mikabel tuma, even without a hekshir, because in the end, it will have inherent tuma. So that's where you start out in the beginning, and it has lighter forms of tuma, only tuma tochlin, and then eventually will get its own inherent tuma, tuma nevela, when you swallow it. Because of that end, that will have inherent tuma, in the beginning, you don't require hekshir. So what the Gemara is suggesting, going to Rashi, is just the opposite. Over here, the aver min achai that separates away from the animal is tamei tumat nevela. Yes, the basar that will separate away from that will become ochel and no longer have inherent tuma, but it came from something that has inherent tuma. The aver min achai has tumat nevela. So maybe the basar that would attach from it would not require hekshir. Because yes, now it's tumat ochlim, but it came from something of an inherent tuma. So just like the thing that starts out as tumat ochlim and then changes into inherent tuma doesn't require hekshir, maybe the same will be true in the opposite. When it starts out with something that's tumah chamura, then when it detaches from it, maybe it shouldn't require hekshir the kabel tumah. Kamash malon, that's not the case. And that both basar that separates away from an animal, basar achai, requires hekshir the kabel tumah, and basar that separates away from an aver min achai also requires Hekshar. It does not get Hekshar automatically because it's parent, meaning that its source, the Eivir Min HaChai, was an Avela. That doesn't change the fact that the Basar itself requires its own Hekshar when it separates away from the Eivir Min HaChai. Now, if that's the case, then you could have explained the Braita of Rabbi Meir being Shechita Osen Nipul. And the reason why over here you need Hekshar the Kabul Tuma is because of the fact that it was Basar Min HaChai and Basar that came from Eivir Min HaChai. And then, Rabbi Yochanan's Chiddush is, that's not the reason of Rabbi Meir. The reason of Rabbi Meir is, Ein Shechita Osen Nipul. Since Ein Shechita Osen Nipul, there's no Nevela over here. There's no Eivir Min HaChai. There's no Basar Min HaChai. It's all part of the animal. That's why you need a Hekshar the Kabul Tuma. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan teaches you. Don't explain the Braita that way, but rather explain it as Ein Shechita Osen Nipul. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan was important over here. So Amar Rabbi Yosef, Nakot, the Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef Yadcha. You should keep this view of Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, who says that the second version of Rabbi Yochanan, the way we explained the Machloket, the Chachamim, and Rabbi Meir, where we say Divrei HaKol, Ein Shechita Osen Nipul, that's the right version. Because the Rabbi Bar Chana, Kayikavatei, Rabbi Bar Chana, who's another Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, says the same thing that Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the Tanya. Ubasar basadeh trefa lo tochelu, vavia eiver, vabasar mindulgal bebehema, ubechaya wolf, vishachatan, shein asurim. So here you have basar basadeh trefa lo tochelu. That teaches you that an eiver and basar mindulgalim, things that are hanging off any type of animal and you shecht it, they're all asur. If they're asur, that makes it sound like shechita otzei nipul, because the shechita of the animal is not successfully taking care of these items, making them kosher le'achila. V'amar Rabbi Bachanan Rabbi Yochanan, that's not a din d'oraita, that's only a din d'rabbonon. The pasuk that you bring is just an asmachta, that basar basadeh trefa lo tochelu, and actually the shechita mi d'oraita is successful at removing the shame tuma from these items, and actually they would be mutar ba'achila. So then why are you not allowed to eat them? Ein ala mitzvah prosh bilvad, as Rashi explains over here, mi d'rabbanan v'krav smachta v'alma. That is only a din d'rabbonon, not a din d'oraita. What that shows you is that the shechita is successful at making, first of all, mutar ba'achila mid'oraita, and removing the tumah, which means ein shechita osen nipul, doesn't cause them to detach when you do the shechita, and therefore it's successful at taking care of them. Now, that's the way Rashi explains it, it's mid'rabbanan, and it's an asmachta b'alma. The Rambam, on the other hand, says that the meaning of prosh bilvad means that it is a din d'oraita, but no malkot. In that, yes, it's still a din d'oraita that you can't eat it, but the din d'oraita is not from basar basadeh trefa lo tochelu, that it's a lav mid'oraita. The fact that it's not a lav mid'oraita, it's similar to like chatzi shiur. The equivalent of chatzi shiur is a sum mid'oraita, but you don't get malkot. So prosh bilvad means that it's an isur d'oraita without malkot. But the fact that there is no malkot shows you that the shechita is successful at making it mutar ba'achila, at least, or quasi mutar ba'achila, and removing the tumah, and that's like what we said here, that ein shechita osen nipul. Yotev Rav Yosef kamed Rav Huna, yotev v'kamar. So Rav Yosef was sitting in front of Rav Huna, and he was saying the following, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, achalol hazeh lokeh. If someone eats this item, that which we just mentioned in this braita that we brought down, then you'll get malkot. Amar lei haumi rabbanon, lo tatzitu lei. One of the rabbanon pipes up over there and says, don't listen to Rav Yosef over here, because Achi Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Mishmei Rav Achlo Lezeh Eino Lokeh. Because we have an alternate Misora that actually, if he eats it, Eino Lokeh, you don't get Malkot. Amar Lei Rav Huna Ana Aman Nismoch. So Rav Huna is sitting there and listening to Rav Yosef's presentation, and then the presentation of the dissenting opinion. So you have a Machloket as to what Rav said in this case. Rav Yosef saying, in the name of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. And then you have this other Amora saying in the name of Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta in the name of Rav, that the halacha is eino lokeh, whereas Rav Yosef saying is lokeh. So Rav Huna is now saying, all right, who should we listen to over here? Adrinu or Rav Yosef le'apeh. Rav Yosef turns his face away, as Rashi notes over here, he was upset. He's upset that Rav Huna is questioning Rav Yosef's Misora over here that he's bringing. The fact that Rav Huna has a safek means that he's not sure that Rav Yosef is right. So Amalei, my kushya. Rav Yosef says back to him, what's the question over here? Ki amri ana b'mita osen nipul, gamri iu b'shchita dein osen nipul. The difference between our opinions is how the animal died over here. Yes, the bright that it brings over here tells you that in a situation where You have these Ivarim or Basar that are hanging away from the animal, that the outcome of that situation is that if you're shefting them, they are Asurim. Then we have the Mesor from Yochanan, that means only Asur Midrabanan, which means that Midoraita, they are Mutarim. And Rav Yosef is bringing a Mesor from Rab, that you get Malkot, which would sound like it's Isur Doraita. And then you have the dissenting opinion that brings from Yitzchak Shmo Bar Marta in the name of Rab, that you're not Loket. So Rav Yosef says it's a simple reconciliation. I am saying that Mita, if the animal dies, the Ivarim that detach are considered to be detached because of the fact that that Mita Ose Nipul. And if Mita Ose Nipul, they are considered to be Eiver Min Achai. And if they are Eiver Min Achai, then they have a din of Tumah of Eiver Min Achai versus that of Nevelah. So why should that matter? You get Malkot if it was Nevelah, you get Malkot if it's Eiver Min Achai. So Rashi says the Nafkamina is, the lo mishum nevela matrin ve'el mishum eiver min achai. So what hatra'ah do you have to give him? What warning do you have to give him in order to get malkot? So that will depend on whether you think it's eiver min achai or nevela. According to me, you're lo mishum eiver min achai because mita ose nipol. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eiger says he doesn't know why Rashi went that direction to say that that's the nafkamina. He says, tamuli, amai lo amar kipshuto. There are other nafkaminot over here. Da'eiver hu kezayit imagidim ba'atzamot. It comes to Eiver Min Achai, the Kezayit is measured not just by Basar, but all the component parts of the Eiver. That by Nevela would only be a Chatzis Shior, because you don't have a Kezayit of Basar of Nevela. The other Nafkamina is whether you can give it to a Ben Noach to eat. Ben Noach is also an Eiver Min Achai, he's Mutar in Nevela. So if it's Eiver Min Achai, you'd be Asur to give it to him. It'd be Nevela Lo Titem Echshol. On the other hand, if it is Nevela, then you'd be Mutar to give to him. So he says he doesn't know why Rashi went the route of Hatra'ah. There are other simpler nafkaminot between them. But then the Mesorah of Rav Yitzchak, Bar Shmo Bar Marta, in the name of Rab, that says if you eat it, there isn't Malkot, that's in the case of Shechita. Because Shechita ain't a Osen Nipul. And if Shechita ain't an Osen Nipul, then Midoraita, the Shechita was successful at removing the Tumat and Vela from it. And even be Makshirid Ba'achila. And that's consistent with Rabbi Yochanan's position. So that now both Rav and Rabbi Yochanan are saying that ain't shechita osen nipul and mita osen nipul, and that's the reconciliation of this. Amar Rava, minaha milta the Amar Rabbanon, mita osen nipul, shechita ain't osen nipul. Where is the source of the fact that mita causes there to be a nipul, meaning that the mita makes it as if these items detach, and that shechita ain't osen nipul, and on the other hand that Shechita does not cause it to detach from it. Now the truth is that the fact that Mita Osen Nipul is really not the Chiddush over here, because the fact that the Eiver is hanging on by a thread, it's really detached. It's not going to be reattached. It's not going to successfully grow back and be a part of the animal. So the fact that Mita Osen Nipul makes a lot of sense. The question is, when you say Shechita Ein Osen Nipul, how do you know that? Or why is that the case? There must be something in the Torah that indicates to us that that is the case, and Shechita is able to overcome the deficit of the Eiver being mostly detached. The real question is, why is ain't Shechita Osen Nipul? Why is it that Shechita is not successful at creating Nipul? Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says in Parshat Shmini, B'chol asher yipol alav mehem bimotam, any of these shretzim that are tamei for you, if they fall after they are dead on the item, yitma, it will make those items tamei. If they take it to the mikveh, it'll be tamei until that nightfall, and once the sun sets, it'll be tahor. What you see over there is that the sheretz has to be dead when it falls on the item to make it tamei. The diuk that Rova makes is, what is that coming to exclude? Why does it say bim motam? Is that to tell you when they're alive, they're not mitamei, minivlatam nafka. The Pasuk already uses the term nivela in it. Later on, the Pasuk says, v'chol esher yipol minivlatam alav yitma, tanur b'chirai yutatz tameim heim tameim yulachem. So it's clear that nivela is the cause of the tumah. Nivela, by definition, means it's a carcass. It's dead already. So therefore, you don't need bimotam to tell you that only in their death do they create tumah. That you already know from the word nivlatam. Elash mamina mita osen nipul. What it's teaching you is the word nifila over there, nofel, and the word mita that are put together teach you that mita creates this outcome of nipul, that anything that is quasi-detached becomes fully detached at the moment of mitah. Ve'ein shchida osin nipul. And shchida is unsuccessful at creating nipul. Amalei ravada rabba l'rova v'akra b'shvatzim tiv. That's a really nice drasha. But that pasuk talking about shvatzim, they don't have any din of shchita. So how can you learn from that a din about shchita when it's speaking about shvatzim that have nothing to do with the world of shchita at all? So amalei im enu inyan l'shvatzim, d'lav b'nei shchita ninu, z'neu l'inyan behema. You're right. Shvatzim don't have anything to do with shchita, and that's why it's not relevant to them. Since it's not relevant to them, move it over to the world of shchita to tell you that there's ein shchita osen ipul. Says ba'agate mi ba'ile. But maybe we still need the word motam in the pasuk to teach you to ein mita, that the only way that they are mitame is when they are like their point of death, which is lachim mitamim yiveshim ein mitamim, only when they are still moist, which is like at the moment of death of the sheretz, it still has moisture in it, still has a certain amount of life to it, not literal life, but in the sense of it being an animal that you can recognize, it's not all dried out, that's when they cause tumah. But when they are dried out, they don't cause tumah. So then the word motam comes to teach you that din, that nevela teaches you that they have to be dead. Motam comes to teach you like the point of mitah. That's when they're mitameh. If they dry out, then they're not mitameh. It says, trei b'motam k'tivei. The pasuk says b'motam here. And then again it says, eila atmeim lechem l'chol sheretz konogebem b'motam yitmad arev. So the word motam is used there. And then in our pasuk again, the motam is used. So you have two b'motams. One of them teaches you that it has to be like the point of death. The other motam comes to teach you mita osen nipul, because that's no fel. Kol hashe yipul mehem bit motam. The mita does nipul, but shchita does not do nipul. So now we have a machloket amoraim, which has influence on the parish of Rashi on the Mishnah, which is Amar Rav Chista. Machloket ve'ever du bar chai. The machloket between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is only in regards to a limb of an ubar that is still alive, that went out of the mother prior to the shchita, that ubar, that's where they have a machloket. Aval be'ever du bar meit, divrei hakol shchita osen nipul. If it is an ever of an ubar meit, the fetus already died, then everybody agrees that the shchita of the mother makes it as if the limb detaches away, and therefore the shchita will be successful at taking care of the ubar to be mutar ba'achila, but on the other hand, the arm is going to be tamei tumat nivela. If that's the case, then the basar of the ubar is going to be tamei magad nevela. So even the chachamim will agree in that case that if the ubar is already passed away, that the shchita of the mother is unsuccessful at removing the tumah from it. The idea being that, because as Rashi says over here, the ubar chai yesh bimino shchita. Shchita is a relevant practice with regards to something that is alive. Therefore, the shchita of the mother has success at taking care of the aver and removing the tumah from it. Not literally that it actually needs shchita, but the fact is that if it was alive outside this context, it would require shchita. And therefore the shchita of the mother is as if there's being a shchita performed on this ubar. On the other hand, an ubar that's mate, the shchita of that animal itself would have no bearing. It's only because it's considered a part and parcel of the mother that it is mutar ba'achila. But absent that, the shchita has no impact on this animal. If that's the case, shchita of the mother is equivalent of mita for the ubar. And mita is osen nipul, and therefore the shchita of the mother does not nitaher the eiver mishom tuma. That's the view of Rav Chista. But Rabba amar, kimachloka bezeh, kach machloka bezeh. Rabba says it makes no difference. Whether it's an ubar chai or an ubar mate, both of them, the shchita is nitaher midei nivela. And the nafkamina between these two is what is the scenario in our Mishnah. Rashi on the Mishnah brought two possible scenarios over there. He says one scenario is that basar ubar maga eiver minachai. The basar of the ubar is classified as maga to an eiver minachai shu mitamei kinevela, because it's mitamei kinevela. That would be according to Rav Chista's view. Because Rav Chista says that the only relevant case in the Mishnah where they argue is in the case of where the ubar is still alive. So if the ubar is still alive, then when you do shchita, the question is the aver of that ubar considered to be detached or attached? If it's detached, then it has tumat nevela because of aver minachai, and it's mitamei the ubar. According to the chachamim, ain't shchita osen nipul over there, and therefore the arm is still attached, and the shchita is successful at removing the tumah. But that would be according to Rav Chisda, because the only case that he has is a case where it's an Eber Min HaChai that has Tumat Nevela. But Rashi brings the second case, Inami, Im Yatzau Bar Mate, Nevela Gemura Havia Eber. If the Ubar comes out mate, then it is considered to be a Nevela Gemura. Well, that's only according to Rabba. Because according to Rabba, they argue both by an Ubar Chai and an Ubar Mate. By Rav Chisda's view, then the Ubar Mate, even the Chachamim are going to agree that it's the Mate Tumat Nevela, and that can't be the scenario in the Mishnah. So what is interesting is Rashi brings two interpretations without referencing to this Machloket Amoraim over there. And if you look at now, Goth Runschenberg, he says that when Rashi brought the cases down, he says that Inami, that second case, the Lok Rav Chisda, that's not like Rav Chisda. Dubar Meit, the Kuliyama Shchito said Nipul. Umefaresh Rashi Bezeh, Karova Sham. He's explaining like Rova or our Girsa is Rabba over here. Question of whether it's Rabba or Rova is the Girsa. But it's interesting that Rashi on the Mishnah just brings both cases without explaining that one of them would be relevant for Rav Chisda and one of them would be relevant for Rabba. So both Runschenberg and Rav Kiva Eger on the Mishnah note that Rashi's two cases are really subject to this Machloket Amoraim that we're seeing over here. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots in the middle of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph.